Welcome back to the Mead House. This is Jeff, here with my buddy Chris.
Hey, how you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Oh, if I was doing any better, I'd almost have it to me. More of my meads are finishing.
Love it.
I've got a pomegranate, and I've got a licorice that finished its primary.
Nice.
So I'm looking forward to this.
How substantial is that licorice flavor, though?
The licorice, I'm going to add the licorice root now.
Okay.
Secondary. I'm going to leave it for 2 to 4 days. And I capped it out at 12%.
Okay.
It's going to be fairly mild per mead. I think it'll be a standard. I actually, just for the sake of fun, chewed on one of the licorice root pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my. I mean, I'm going to monitor that pretty closely.
Yeah, no, that's one of those flavors. Spices can get that way. We've talked about that a number of times before already. Spices get that way quick.
Oh, my gosh. I'm not opposed to black licorice flavor, but I wasn't chewing long either. So, whoa. All right. Today for our show, I've been asked a question about how to do meads on a budget.
Mm-hmm.
And the phrase he actually used was, how can I make cheaper mead? And I'm saying, well, you can't make cheap mead because that's low quality. You're going to make good mead if you're going to talk to me.
Right.
But a budget's another story. There's a lot of things. Okay. I'll be honest. A lot of things we do. We talk about a lot of stuff. We have our CO2 cans, we have our kegs, we have this gauge and that contraption.
Stainless steel thing and that stainless steel thing.
And, you know, the collection of some 20-odd buckets in our house with all of our... Can you make a reasonably inexpensive mead? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to have the artisanal or farm-fresh honeys. You have to have honey.
Yeah. Basic honey.
Good basic... clover honey is lighter. You'll make a lighter flavor mead. But perfectly acceptable.
Right.
If you get a mixed honey, as long as it's just honey, also acceptable.
Right.
Any bulk retailer, now you can get these anywhere from $5 to $7 to $8 a pound.
Yep.
Now, mind you, you're going to need 2 to 3 pounds of honey to start.
And we're talking about a 1 gallon batch.
A 1 gallon batch. Yeah. Thank you. But you can do it. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go into the process of what you can get. And maybe I can find a way to save you a little bit of money by the end of it. Just give you some, how to start yourself your meats.
Trim out some dollars and cents and make this a little bit more approachable for those of you that are interested in getting started and not interested in spending.
Taking out a home loan.
Because we've all had that hobby that we wanted to get into and like, oh, I need $500 to get this equipment and that equipment to really do it right. But no, you can get started for cheaper.
For much cheaper. And there's no reason not to. I mean, the idea is start. Build where you can. I mean, even professionals like Savage from Mythbusters, he said, start small, get the cheapest tool that does the job.
Mm-hmm.
If you use it up and you wear it out quickly, get a better version of it and build.
You know, we were talking a few episodes ago about Ken Schramm's Heart of Darkness mead.
Yes, yes.
You know what he ferments his Heart of Darkness in?
No.
The same 7 gallon plastic buckets we use.
Wow.
He's just doing it like 40 or 50 at a time. But I've seen videos of him in his like little cellar in his meadery, pop open it, push down the fruit, next one, pop it open, push down the fruit.
And that's an award-winning, internationally known mead.
That sets the standard for that dark mead, like that other people desire to emulate. It's just fantastic.
And even that tells you what he uses.
Mm-hmm.
Not the amounts, but what he uses.
Then the other thing he doesn't tell you is that he grows it and he puts more effort into growing the
meat. Yeah, exactly. But it's on his property.
That's Ken.
It's Ken. I want to meet that man someday.
I know.
But that's right here and there. Well, let's just start off. Now, we're going to talk about making a 1 gallon batch of meat. Now, what we're going to do there, we're going to start just with the basics. You're going to need a fermentation vessel. That can be a plastic bucket, it'd be a carboy. You're going to spend anywhere from 10 to 20 bucks depending on what you get. I recommend. Like a 2 gallon plastic bucket,
mm-hmm.
or a gallon carboy, or both. You actually will need two,
right?
Because you're going to rack. Because you actually absolutely have to rack. You have to take some of the debris and detritus out of your first fermentation.
Yes.
You know, can you drink it? Absolutely. Is it going to hurt you? Absolutely not. Is it going to taste? Is it going to be right in your feel right in your mouth? No.
No, not really.
You'll be like swallowing very finely grit oatmeal along with your mead. And it's not fun. It detracts my experience. Now you can get a plastic bucket or a glass or a gallon carboy. If you have a gallon jug that you had apple cider in once upon a time.
Right.
Perfect.
Or cheap red wine.
Or cheap red wine, whatever. You know, a gallon container, a gallon glass container. As always, if you have these things or have access to somebody, say, here, I'm not using it. Here you go. Do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
One less thing.
The next thing you need is you need an airlock and stopper. And I have, my son is going to do this. I met another guy who tried this to begin with. They used a latex balloon. They put a tiny little hole in it to let the gas escape. And I asked the guy who said, yeah, I used a latex balloon. I'm sitting here. Why? I mean, the stopper and airlock is going to cost you about $5, $3 to $5 right. total. And you're going to use it again and again and again. And you're not much. You can use latex balloon. Yeah. Attach it really, really strongly with rubber band, poke a really tiny hole in it, and hope for the best.
And not mind the rubber off later.
Yeah. And I mean, just, you know, if you're going to do this, let's do this at least close to as well as you can.
It's $5. You can put the thing in the dishwasher when you're done.
For my dishwasher, I wash it out with soap and water and run water through it and put it back on the shelf. But anyway, the next thing you do, and this was a little bit, it sounds complicated, but it's not. It's your racking cane.
Mm-hmm.
Your racking cane is how you're going to move your mead from one container to another with a siphon.
Right.
And it's very simple to use. You can see it online. When you get it, if you get it from a store, they will show you. If you get it online, look it up on YouTube. It's dead easy. $5, $10. Done deal.
So, racking cane, $5, $10. It's a little polycarbonate tube with a little, usually a little plastic cap on the bottom so you're not sucking directly off the lees. Yes. You can save some money just getting the racking cane. I would say this is one of those times when, like, ease and use, it's worth it to pay the extra 10 to get the auto siphon at 15 or 20. But if you're pinching every penny.
There you go. Now, I'm going with, you know, there's always a better, easier piece of equipment.
The main reason here that I say that I recommend this one as opposed to, you know, saving the money, I'm a penny pincher myself, but the way that you start a siphon with just the racking cane without the auto siphon, you have two options. Either you, like the guys that are sucking gasoline out of other people's cars, you put your lips to the end of the hose and then stick it in the wherever your finished receptacle is.
Gas don't care.
Your meat's going to has germs and stuff in it. That's, you know, that Acetobacter is probably the least of your worries at that rate. The other option is to take like a turkey baster and like you hold the tube up, you fill it, and then you dump it really fast and hope the suction is enough to get the
get it started.
It's a lot of hassle when I could just do pump, 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 and it's going.
Yeah, so I recommend the mini auto siphon as well. I am going as low as I can here, guys. Right.
Yeah.
So next thing you're going to need is you're going to need measuring spoons, and not me, just a normal set, and sanitizer. I will never, ever use anything but Star Sand personally.
Right.
Because it's easy, it's cheap. My 4-ounce bottle has lasted me 6 months, and I've not gone through half of it yet.
It's probably about time for you to change that on the just, you know, usage standpoint too.
Yeah, but, you know, but I'm using it as fast as I can. I mean, I literally had, at one point, 4 gallons of sanitized diluted solution in my house. Mm-hmm. I'm down to 2.
Right. Oh, your 4-ounce... The
concentrate.
Yes. Concentrate's fine. I think that's pretty shelf-stable. I was thinking you had like a bottle that you had diluted out.
No. I have gallon bottles of it now. And 1 gallon, all for 1 gallon distilled water, you need distilled water for this.
Right.
You're using 6-7 milliliters.
Six milliliters is what I calculated it as. Yeah.
Milliliters of Star Sand. And I'll tell you exactly how to get that measured properly. Go to your local pharmacy.
Mm-hmm.
Ask them for a baby syringe medicine. Baby medicine syringe. They will give it to you most of the time.
I discovered this because my son needed a syringe for his medicine when he was like 3 or 4 years old.
And I, as a father, I've done this too. Yeah. And I said, can I get a couple extra of those? Sure, here. And now I have 2 in my box for my mead.
Exactly.
Easy peasy. You'll need bottles or a container of some variety. If you're not going to drink it all at once, you'll want to store it in separate bottles.
Mm-hmm. I know some people will take their gallon glass carboy, they'll ferment, and they'll stick it in the fridge and just pull off the top.
You can do it.
It's going to be a way better at the start than it is at the bottom because you're going to have that oxidization as you get towards the bottom. More and more oxygen is going to replace the volume of mead you've poured off.
Now, and again, this is something you can either... Okay, I'm going to step into dangerous territory for a second. Do you have friends that drink wine?
I hope so. I hope I have
friends. And I hope you guys out there do too. But the point is, if they have empty bottles, get them. Mm-hmm. Clean them out.
As long as they're not screw tops, you can put a new cork in it.
Yeah, easy as that. If you have a bar in town, and I'd be shocked if you didn't, go there. Can I get your empties? Sure! They'll throw boxes of those things at you.
Generally, if places like bars are using it in such a quantity that they're paying someone for recycling in a hallway more often than not.
Yeah, so you want some? That's usually not an issue.
Yeah, the you are saving them money taking that away from them.
If you have to buy them, you can probably get a good solid box of 12.
Exactly.
For $20.
Right, if that.
Yeah. If that, maybe yeah. Less.
I've heard of some wineries that are like, oh yeah, we've got a box of empties. Give us $5.
And yeah. You know, and that's a winery, and they're just getting rid of the ones they can't use anymore because they have to use new. Don't ask me why. You need corks, or you need caps, something to seal it, mm-hmm. and the means to do so.
Right.
There are cheap options for that. I think the hand lever for the corks is around $20-$25.
I think it's around 25. Yeah, yeah. It's terrible.
But
you're getting an arm workout, but it's
cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you, and you just have to just upgrade again, this is at the bottom of the rungs where you go start. If you want to figure out if you want to do this, you're going to get okay. Now, when I first looked up this, making sure I had my whole list, it said useful, but not mandatory. And I said, that's not true. You need your hydrometer. You need a hydrometer. I'm not going to say it's not life and death. But I will say, if you make a great mead and you want to do it again, you'd better take your measurements, take your notes.
Right, right.
Because the twist of fate is, I'm gonna make this mead, first time I've ever made mead before, and oh, that is the best thing I've ever had in my life. How did I do that? Now you're stuck. You will never, ever make mead that good again, I promise.
I kind of look at not using a hydrometer along the same lines as not using chemicals, like we were talking about last week in our additives thing. It's not as pure seeming, but dude,
I live in the 21st century.
Mm-hmm. You have the tools and the availability, and let's face it, hydrometers are not that expensive either.
No, I mean, hydrometers are literally $10,
right?
On the upside, $10-$15, really good ones.
And realistically, like, go to your home store if you have not bought a hydrometer yet.
Buy one,
like two. Because you're going to break it at the most inopportune time at 11 o'clock at night. Your homebrew store is not going to be open, and you're going to need to replace it.
That's why I have two thieves, class thieves, because I'm going to break one. It's going to happen. But no, but yeah, get them. Get your hydrometers. And actually, it's kind of because my daughter, I got her hydrometer for her husband. And one day he's like, yeah, I'm going to try this out. And he broke it. I had to run my hydrometer over to him. I didn't mind, but I was sitting here, I should have known.
I have heard of a... Like a, I don't know if it's plastic or some kind of like polycarbonate or like a borosilicate glass that is break proof, but somebody is making a break resistant hydrometer these days. I've not seen it for sale anywhere though. Yeah. So
when it comes up, let me know.
Yeah, if I think somebody needs an acid test to compare it and make sure that it's consistently as accurate as the glass ones, but still, like that could be a game changer. Yeah, right
that
there.
Would be awesome. I would shell out a little bit of money for that.
Yeah.
The other thing you need is something to stir with. I prefer a solid material, non-porous spoon of some variety. If it's in a jug, you don't have to. You can shake the jug if you have a good cork or a good stopper on it. I recommend some way of mixing it in the bottle so you get your honey, your water, all that mixed in thoroughly and uniformly.
Like the one that I used starting out for just getting my honey mixed up in the jugs. Just a long plastic spoon. Like, you don't use the round part. You use the long handle and stick it in, like, churn it like a cauldron.
Yeah, and just go to town. You're just looking for it to be well mixed. Mm-hmm. And all these things are sanitized.
Right.
Get your sanitized pan, put all your sanitized tools in it, and take it out of the pan.
Right. Plastic is as non-porous as stainless steel and a fraction of the cost. So
yeah.
If you've already got a plastic spoon sitting in your utility drawer like I did, that you use maybe once or twice a year to make Kool-Aid for when your cousins come over, not cousins, your nephews come over, there you go.
There you go. Yeah, otherwise $1-$3, big deal. Now, that's just your equipment, okay, guys? Now, do you have to have all the additives we talked about an episode or two ago? Technically, no. You need some of them.
You need yeast. You need nutrient. And you need stabilizer.
And you need stabilizer. And preferably a fining agent of some variety.
You can get away with fining agent if you're patient or if you don't mind a cloudy bean.
Yeah. But you'll need honey. Now, like I said earlier, if you go for bulk, going to farmer's markets sometimes is good. And you can get a very good, and I'll be honest, the honey I use at home for everyday use for just eating is from a local farm. And the difference is unbelievable compared to the store-bought. But I'm paying $6, $7 a pound.
Even for 6, 7 bucks is not a bad price.
No, I mean, if you're paying less than eight, you're doing pretty good here. You really are. And so if you're on a root type, use less expensive honey. Clover is less expensive. Wildflower is better. There are always better honeys.
Sure.
But,
On a generic note, the clover, the wildflower, like demarcations that we're seeing at, your supermarket or your local honey supplier, things like that, those are generally basically the same thing, more often than not. They're kind of a wildflower mix. Real like white clover, in a really good clover year, has all kinds of different flavor notes, and you'll know because it's gonna be in the $12 to $15 range, I believe,
Yeah.
the last time I priced that out.
And
So,
honestly, any honey you get from a grocery store generally is from several countries blended. It works fine. Okay. Do not beat yourself up over this. Water. Now, water is cheap per se on our list. You can get a gallon of spring water from Walmart for $1.35, buck fifties in that range.
In that range.
This is one area, don't sell yourself short. Get spring water, get in the gallon jugs. But don't use tap.
If you're going to use tap, you need more chemicals involved with this.
And you don't want chlorine.
Right. Because you don't want chlorine. Chlorine, when it interacts with all those the different things the yeast throw out when they're fermenting, you get weird flavors like old Band-Aid or burnt rubber. It's just not
It's not
pleasant.
good. It's not pleasant.
Yeah, the chlorine or chloramines that are less flavor impacting, they use like our local water source uses
Yeah.
chloramine instead of chlorine. Yeah, either of those will mess with the yeast. So there are two options. You either get spring water, which is, I like using spring water because it has the minerality of a natural water source without the chlorine. You use like a distilled water or RO,
Yeah, the reverse osmosis water. I use
right.
that for my experiments, flat out.
The thing is, that's missing a lot of the minerality that you would normally
I'm
want.
just trying to get the flavor I want. Then I'll add, then the next round I'm using the actual, it'll be better, almost invariably.
Yeah, I know a lot of beer makers that will start with Rhodi water and then use different like gypsums and calcium carbonates and things like that to try and replicate the water source of the style of beer that they're making for that purpose.
And you can
So,
do that. There's a book out there called Water,
yeah.
and you can do that. But be good to yourself. Get yourself some spring water.
Just if you're going to use tap water, what you got to do, and this sucks, it's a pain in the butt, but you've got to collect all the water you're going to need. If you're making beer, it's a lot more than the 5 gallons you're going to end up with. It's something like 10 to 15. And you dose half of a Cap'n tablet, which is your potassium metabisulfite, roughly, and let that sit for about 24 hours, if I'm not mistaken, to get the chlorine and chloramines out. And then it's safe to use. So either, pay a little bit, $1.35 a gallon, or be ready to put in a little extra effort and have something that holds, 5 to 10 gallons.
Yeah. So, but again, we're going with 1 gallon here, so let's not, don't get ahead of yourself.
Sure,
Now,
sure.
next thing we need right now is yeast. This is not bread yeast. You're not baking with it. Please don't use bread yeast. Yes, it is yeast. Yes, it has a purpose. It's not in fermentation for your mead. Unless you want your mead to taste a little bit like bread. I mean, honestly.
You can make a case that yeast as an organism is as domesticated as dogs or chickens or cows. We have been breeding different strains of yeast to do different things. The wine yeasts that we use predominantly in making mead have been selected for time and time again, and reused time and time again because they have nice qualities that people liked in the wines, and it's been divided out that way. The same with beer yeast. Bread yeasts, similarly, have been selected for the last couple hundred years.
Yeah, for bread.
Right.
So you're not making bread, you're making mead. Use wine yeast. We use 71B, Lavin 71B.
It's a
It's my
basic,
workhorse.
easy, yeah.
Mean, if you don't have access to that easily, and the internet is not working in your favor, EC 1118, also from Lavin, is acceptable. It will do the
Valvin
job.
are right. K1V, D47. If you go to another Lalvin yeast,
Even Nottingham.
you're going to be fine. You can go to, we talked in the yeast video, some of my favorites are like US05 or SO4. Those are beer yeasts, but they're nice in mead. They
Yeah.
work great.
And
You
that's,
have so
but
many options.
do something, don't get the Red Star off the shelf at your local supermarket and say, that's gonna make great yeast. No, you're not. You're gonna make bready mead and your body not gonna like it. It's like $1 to $3 a packet.
Yeah, you've got to make an extra trip to your local homebrew store or buy it on Amazon, but you're paying next to nothing for this yeast. And when you're talking about making a single gallon, we're talking about little 5 gram sachet packets of this yeast. You're using half of that
Yeah.
realistically, and that's still more than plenty.
Yeah. I mean, yeast is an organism that will grow. If you used 1 gram, it's going to take longer to ferment, but you can get there technically.
Yeah, you could technically take, if you have the little jeweler's scale to measure out single grams of yeast, you could split that sachet of yeast into 5 different gallons and get 5 different packs going. But if you have the money and the time to do buy a jeweler's scale with that level of precision, then
Get better
maybe,
equipment.
yeah,
Well,
no, maybe,
just use half a pack. You're fine.
right.
Now, your nutrients are not something. Okay. I agree with Jeff that nutrients are so important as they're not to be avoided, even though a person I know does not use them like he should. You need ferment. Our go-to is Ferment K. It's the cheap one. You use less of it. A single 2 ounce packet is going to cost you five, six,
Right.
$7. And you're going to get a lot of use out of that particular packet.
You'll use twice as much Fermate O and it will cost twice as much. At least the last time I did the math, which maybe that's been a year or two, but I don't think it's changed much.
And even if it has, I'm going to stick with what I like because I get the results I want.
There are plenty of people that I know that like Fermate O. I like Fermate O too. I just cheap like that, and I get just as good results with Fermate K. So what's the point? The point is, use good nutrient whether you like K or like O. K is the more cheap one in more affordable one in this case. So that's the one we would recommend, especially if you're trying to save money.
Now, everything else I have from this point is an optional thing. You
Sure.
don't absolutely need an acid blend.
No.
You don't absolutely need flavorings like herbs, spices, fruits, fill in the blank.
If you were trying to make the cheapest mead possible, no, we wouldn't
You don't
want
need any of
any of
those
that.
things. And then from this point, you literally go onto our website, themeadhouse.com, and you look down your little list on the front page there, and it has a recipe. Do it. It's as simple as that, guys.
8%. I think in a few episodes here, we'll be having a 12% as well.
Yeah.
That we will, yeah, we'll probably, when we talk about more fallish things, I think it'll be good for like spice blends and some of those heavier, like darker flavors and things like
And
that.
actually, at the end of this, I like to talk about some seasonal options.
Yeah, we'll get to that
Yeah,
in
right
a
after we
little
finish
bit.
this. Yeah.
Yeah.
But all you're going to use your mixture of honey. You're going to mix your water with your honey. You're going to pitch your yeast. You're going to mix it all together, get it to make sure it's going. Put your stopper on the top. Put a little bit of water in your stopper
Take a
and
gravity reading.
take your gravity reading. Don't ever forget to do that. Take your gravity reading and then let it do its job. I mean, I think at times we make it sound like we are working on this, 18 hours a day around our regular, life. We have a busy couple of days, a day or so. Then we wait for a couple of weeks. Then we have a busy day. Then we'll wait for a few months. Then we'll have a month or two or three, and then we'll have a busy day. Then we'll have a couple more busy days and we're done.
Yeast is doing the bulk of the work here. We're kind
Yeah.
of just along for the ride and monitoring.
Yeah, they're the workhorse. We're the coach, man. I mean, we're doing what they do what we tell them and we get the results.
All right, guys, go for
There you go. And that is basically all I got to tell you about making a cheap meal. Now, what I had right there was roughly 180, $200 worth of stuff you get piecemeal together, roughly.
roughly.
Maybe 150. I didn't do the math directly. I meant to, but I ran out of time. Let me tell you about Bock's and Barleycorn. We haven't mixed them yet, and they're going to mix them right now. Bock's and Barleycorn actually has a mead kit ready. They have a list. They will put the mead kit together for you. They will absolutely make sure you have everything you need, in that meat kit. And the total amount of that meat kit is, let me find it in my notes real quick. Here it is. The beginner meat equipment list, you'll get your 2 gallon bucket, your 1 gallon bucket, your stopper with airlock, your mini auto siphon, the better of the two. You will get your bottle filling wand, which is when you bottle into a wand, you'll stick it to the end of your auto siphon.
Mm-hmm.
And you punch it down. When it gets to the top of your bottle, you take it out, and it's perfectly filled every time.
Just avoids spills, avoids wastage, gets just the right amount of headspace.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And it's an extra buck or two.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. And you'll get a mesh bag if you want to actually add fruit at some future point. You'll get your sanitizer powder. You'll get your triple scale hydrometer with a sample tube to test your gravity in.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get a 5 ounce funnel for $69.
That's not bad.
That's really good. Now, if you want to go a little bit above that and you want to get all your honey and everything, your yeast and all that as well, we're going to bump it up extra $20. You'll get your 56 ounces of honey, Camden tablets, potassium sorbate for your back sweetening, wine yeast, yeast nutrient, and the recipe page on how to put it together. And if you want to go all the way out and you have your bottle sent to you too, that's going to be a total of $120. This is why we love Oxen Barley Crumb. They want to help out. They have a passion for it. And we are honored to be sponsored by them.
Right. They've consistently been helpful for us, for the community. And I mean, these are great prices. These are comparable or even beating the pants off of what you would find at an online order store whose name I will not mention because I don't want to give them any more airspace.
Yeah, but there you go. I mean, the first option is just getting all of your basic equipment under $70. With all your ingredients for it, under $90. With 8 16-ounce bottles for a 1 gallon batch, $120. And the bottles themselves are self-stoppering.
Right.
They have a little hinge thing. Just you close it up, you're good to go. No corking necessary.
Kolsch, not Kolsch. There's that German brand. They sell them in that same kind of stopper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, give a call to Bacchus and they will set you up. And just, you know, whatever the shipping is to, you know, I don't know how far you are, but whatever shipping is, you're on your way.
Right. They are friendly. They have the stuff. They have good prices. They have great prices. And, you know, they are helping us deliver this information to you guys consistently week after week. We could not thank Jake and the team enough.
And plus, you know, if they don't know the answer, where it happens, it's happened very rare. I have gotten calls fairly quickly. Oh, I figured it out for you. I had a moment, so I figured out what your question and answer was.
Yeah. Or they tell you where you can look for the answer, too. Yeah. It's sometimes the knowledge you need is not the answer, but where to find the answer, you know?
And there you go. Yeah. And, but there you go. I mean, a really quick, easy, inexpensive way to make a solid mead. Speaking of meads, we have not talked about this.
We have not talked about the mead of the day, but hey, you know what we need to do before we get off of the Bacchus and Barley Corn?
What's that?
We need to remind them that they can use our promo code MHP10 and get 10% off whatever they buy.
Yeah, I did forget about that. I'm having so much fun with this, you know, getting people started on meat. I forgot I can give you a better discount than even what I told you.
And hey, as long as we're thanking people, we should probably also thank our listeners. At home. Guys, it's
appreciated. We are going to expound upon this because we truly are blessed that you guys want to listen to us.
Yeah, it makes this worthwhile that we get the positive comment, feedback, the people that saying, hey, you know, we appreciate the work you're putting into this. We love listening to you guys. I could talk to Chris and just banter for, you know, an hour or two over the weekend and
relax. A couple months.
Right. But the fact that other people are getting something out of this and the fact that we are, you know, reaching and helping out.
Even better.
Yeah.
That's, even better.
That makes this worthwhile for us.
Excellent.
So,
meat of the day.
Meat of the day. This one comes to us from Avant-Garde Meadery out of Washington. This is Tinge of the Ginge. This is a peach ginger mead.
It's got a light amber,
mm-hmm.
almost into straw.
Yeah, it's kind of borderline there. It's pretty light.
Yeah, I'm learning these colors from you as we go along here, so I'm gonna jump on this, and you can correct me if I'm wrong.
Got a kind of a hint of some fat legs if I really agitate it. ABV is this guy. I don't think I looked at that. 14%.
Oh, this one's heavy. This is just right, barely into the sack mead.
Yeah, it's kind of on that border, right? I don't remember. Let's see. Does this say if it's sweet or anything? That doesn't really say anything of the sort. It contains sulfites. Oh,
no, I don't mind that. I don't get a lot of smell. There's not a whole lot of smell. I smell a little bit.
I mean, and it's stone fruit are notoriously not very pungent, you know?
I get a little bit of honey in there. I don't even smell ginger, to be honest. Okay, there's a little ginger I found. But I'm not, there's not a whole lot of smelling this.
Yeah, no, there's a little bit of fruit, a little bit of floral from the honey. I don't know that I'm getting much ginger. I'm getting, if I take a really deep inhale, I get some alcohol.
No, yeah, I got that. Wee!
It's
Anyway.
super light, but let's take a tasty taste and see what's up.
Kind of heavy. Not bad.
It's the mouthfeel is there. It's a little strong. The peach is not as pronounced as I would like it to
I would
be.
like more peach, and I'll agree with that.
Yeah. The ginger is not very pronounced either. It's not like the
I
ginger is
don't mind
bleeding
that
out.
though. Ginger could be low key for us probably because ginger is one of those things. If you a little bit too much is way too much.
Yes.
It will quickly take. I don't mind the light ginger in it, but I would really appreciate more peach.
Which is not to say it's not good meat.
Oh, I'm not.
It's
Again, I'm not going to dump my glass.
right. I will still finish this glass and probably this bottle at some point, but
Yeah, no, I'm not saying it's not a good meat. It is a good meat. I appreciate the fruit that I'm told about. If you're telling me it's peach, I want to taste some peach, and it's there. Don't get me wrong. I just want more of it because I love peach.
Right. And I think it's the amount of peach flavor I'm getting for the sweetness and the like the body, the strength of the mead. I would like it to be more pronounced in that kind of mix up there. It's still there. And now that I am like tasting it and I've got a kind of I'll take a sip. The flavor of the ginger is not especially pronounced, but like when you get that aftertaste and
You
you
can feel it.
swallow, you get that tip of your tongue kind of tingles with the, it's not like spicy capsaicin peppery kind of
Please no.
burn, but
Please no. The
they're gonna give you another blank bottle and say,
narrows,
here,
man. No. Oh, gosh.
drink
I actually have two more I found. I'm not opening them. I don't know what I'm going to do with those two. Oh, my God. Clean out my cabinet. I found two more of those blank bottles of probably caps, so those same bottles. And I have no freaking idea what to do with them. Such is my life. Anyway,
The real problems.
yeah.
The real problems. So now that we got the thanks and the sponsors and all the good stuff out of the way.
We were talking about seasonal.
Yeah.
Now, mead, as a general rule, they say you should let it age 8 months to a year
I don't like
after.
that.
I don't. I'll be honest. I've made a mead and drunk it the next day. So. But if you would like an age, and what aging does, it just blend all the flavors blend into a very even taste. You can taste all the pieces, but it's like hearing a very nice song where you can't pick out each instrument. It just all sounds good. That's for your mouth. Comma. I recommend a little bit of aging. 2 to 4 months is pretty good.
I mean, yeah, no, it really depends on a lot of different factors. The level of alcohol, number one, like a lighter mead does not need to age very long. There's just not a lot to it as much. If you're talking about a heavier mead with more like fruit forward, more alcohol, more tannin character and things like that, yeah, aging is gonna help.
Nothing but health. But so let's talk about okay, let's just start. Let's look at the calendar. Top of the year, we have the first real thing we have is like Valentine's Day.
If we're not counting New Year's Day,
New
which
Year's Day is champagne and happy and but you can't we can't what would you make for a New Year's mead?
New Year's Eve is champagne and happy. New Year's Day is sleeping till 11, maybe having some eggs and toast and going back to
Fair enough.
bed.
Okay, well I'm not making eggs and toast mead, so we're out of luck there. Anyway, so okay, New Year's okay, let's start at the bottom of the year. Let's say New Year's Eve is anything fun, fizzy, like that. Make yourself a fizzy mead. You can do that.
Right. I would do, yeah, something carbonated.
And light. And light.
Light, yes. Maybe something like, I did a hopped blueberry mead that was, I swear to God, bright pink. And
That'd be awesome.
that would be perfect for New Year's or for
Yeah, it would.
Valentine's Day, really. Either it maybe not the hops part, but like a blueberry with some other fun flavor, like very fizzy, very bright pink. Either like New Year's or Valentine's Day would be a perfect thing
And
for
on
that kind
Valentine's
of
Day,
thing.
maybe you should make it strawberry or cherry.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, right. But make it fizzy, make it light, and let it sit. And you want to put these things. I would put them. I would start making them no less than 6 months out from these events. If you want to make it easy for your calendar, make it for the next year.
Make it for the next year, if especially if you're going to do something in the 14% or above range, because that at that point, you can get delays and those can really screw with your timeline.
Yeah.
If we're talking about like a 6 to 8% ABV mead, 3 months is probably more than
Yeah.
enough.
2 to 3 months is fine. But let's see here. Then we have St. Patrick's Day coming up. Now, this is an option. They have green beer. You can have green mead. It's not a flavor, it's a color. And it can be whatever you like, to be honest. You can make a mint mead. If you want to have the shamrock shake feel, you can have lactose, mint, make yourself a mouthfeel mead for St. Patrick's Day.
That could be fun. If I were gonna do a St. Patrick's Day mead, I would lean a little bit more in tradition and do like use some heather honey and maybe like thistle for spice.
Ooh, nice.
And really like lean into more of those, Celtic flavors and ideas that
Maybe even add some hops. Maybe have a little bit of hops
a
in.
little bit of noble hops could be nice, or like some East Kent Goldings, kind of like just real light floral stuff that throws in there. That could be good too. I don't really consider apple-y stuff as a St. Patrick's Day thing,
Neither do
but
I.
I'm struggling for another fruit that is more appropriate,
But that's good for now. We're
Right.
just giving suggestions here. Believe me, when we say the sky's the limit, we are always finding more things. Hey, I wonder if I can make that into a mead.
It occurs to me, obviously, the other thing you can do as far as a St. Patrick's Day mead is make a braggot,
Yeah.
make a Guinness,
Guinness
or
mead braggot.
a stouty braggot, or like an Irish red braggot. Either of those, Irish red, I bet would be real nice with the right kind of honey.
Want to give it a shot.
Yeah, maybe like a cranberry for a little bit more of that maltiness. That could be very, very pleasant.
Okay,
Now the wheels are turning.
now the wheels are turning. Great. So now I'm gonna jump a little bit over, and I'm gonna go all the way to 4th of July. This is where I'd make the cap smells. I'll be honest. I don't think it'll light up the mouth as well as anything else. I'm not saying I'm gonna drink it, but I would make things that are spicier.
I could see that happening. I mean, you don't, yeah, not just 4th of July, but summertime. You get the backyard barbecue, and I know a few different guys who love like the jalapeno popper kind of things. Like you stick a little bit of cheese in
Cream
half a
cheese,
jalapeno,
jalapeno, wrap it
wrap it
with
in bacon,
bacon.
put it on the grill. Like it's a little spicy, it's a little cheesy, it's a little bit, that salty umami from the bacon, all those good things.
What with it?
Yeah, it's spicy mead in that kind of setting. Yeah, especially like that ball buster of a spicy mead that we had like accidentally the other day.
That was weeks ago, man. The
I mean, realistically, hey, do another shot of this mead is a lot safer than hey, put this Roman candle in this place and light it on fire.
Yeah. You may be thrashing around a little bit, but you're not going to be dying per
You'll be
se.
fine in 20 minutes.
Maybe an hour?
Yeah.
Onward, onward. All right, so next, now we're going to go in a little bit into fall. Now, fall flavors are a cornucopia of possibilities.
Yeah.
One of my things on my list is actually making a pumpkin pie and pumpkin pie spice mead. And one of the things you recommended to me is not just using pumpkin for the flavor, but using sweet potatoes.
Not sweet potatoes, but in a squash.
Butternut squash, that was it. And sweet potatoes always been recommended by somebody. I don't remember who.
Sweet potatoes is also a thing. I mean, the flavor profile, though, between butternut squash and between pumpkin is so very minor that 9 times out of 10, I don't think anybody can tell the difference. But the flavor components and the sugar content of butternut squash is like miles above what you
Yeah.
get, even in like the pie specific pumpkins.
Yeah.
That
You need
is.
the sugars. You absolutely need the sugars. And you also have the spices. You have the clove, you have the cinnamon, you have the allspice, you have the nutmeg. And these things are going to carry through the end of the year, people.
Right. You think about it, you've got Halloween pumpkins, treats. That's maybe the most outside of this profile, but then you've got Thanksgiving where it's pumpkin pie and pecan pie and candied yams and stuff like that.
Cranberry.
Yeah, cranberry,
Okay.
oh sure. Then you got Christmas, which for some people is like a carryover of Thanksgiving where you have a lot of the same stuff. Sometimes it's more like, you got the gingerbread house or the little we do almond cookies dusted with powdered sugar or pecan little cookies.
I've actually given a recipe for a gumdrop mead.
Hmm.
And it basically, it's a variation of the Juicy Fruit gum mead, but you're getting more of that candy-like flavor in it.
Right.
But I want to try that. Now, I can't tell you what's in it right now. Oh, cool. I'm gonna look at that later.
Other things to do. Yeah,
Yeah,
this happens.
but but you could, but the candies, the nuttiness, the spices.
And as much as we as a culture love to malign the idea of a fruitcake, I think
I've had great fruitcakes.
if you homemade a fruitcake, it's a beautiful thing because it is like absolutely saturated with rum and brandy.
Yeah, and you can also add rum oak tannin to it. We talked about that recently.
Yeah, for sure. But this is also a great time to play with some of those. This is one of those situations where I would say, yes, put raisins in your meat for the raisin flavor.
Yeah.
For you could do figs, you could do prunes, you could do any of those dark, dry fruits would go great in this, along with cherry, along with, whatever you've got really that is kind of in that same ballpark. You could throw in again some flaked oats for the red part of this, maybe. But yeah, no, this is
There are possibilities here.
right. This could be
And
very nice.
yeah, and
And I would say in this case, go sweet, go high alcohol, make this like a snifter on a cold winter night.
at the campfire.
Yeah, or across from your fireplace in your
Whatever.
house. Exactly.
Of course, something burning. Perfect for not somebody.
Yeah, just your little nightcap, little maybe 4 ounce pour, and then nice night.
Well, and I'm going to thank Jeff for this right now because I want to do a seasonal mead short talk for a while now. I really haven't. I imagine Joe goes, "Okay, let's take it on into this." He knuckled under, and I really appreciate it. And I thank you for that. But I like the ideas.
Yeah, let's circle back because I think there are holidays in all these places. We're in the end of, well, not the end, we're at the beginning of April,
Summer.
the middle of April right now, and
Yeah.
getting towards the end of spring, start of summer. We're in like one of the nicest weather parts of the year where I just want to be outside all the time, frankly. Like, what are just basic late spring, early summer
Light fruit
meads?
meats
Sure.
are awesome at this point.
This is, to me, this is a good time for carbonated meads. This is a good time for sweet, fruity meads. I like, as we get into summer too, this is also where I like those, not necessarily like the heavy dark brackets, but like the lighter beer styles where we mix beer and mead. Saison bracket that I've made it to a time or two, or my the Weiss beer bracket, right? Weiss beer. Whip beer. Whip beer. The whip beer bracket. It's just notes of coriander and orange peel in it, along with the beer and the honey. Like those all play really nicely together. And this is that time of year where like it's warm out, you can just sit back, relax, have a drink. And that to me is like what I'm looking for, just an experience to kind of meld together.
And also, just for those of you who don't know, a bracket is a beer mead combination.
Thank you. Thank you.
I don't want to toss around words you don't know. I don't know what they're talking about. I'm trying to be like beer mead combination.
Yes.
And speaking of which, you had one not long ago you started when I was
Yes.
here. How'd it work out?
Actually, I've got two of those, if you remember correctly.
Yeah, that's right.
We started one, and then the other one took its time getting there. Those are still underway. The wheat wine bracket that I made, which is the gold piece, I'm worried it's a little bit under the initial gravity and final alcohol content that I was hoping for. It came in. I'm using a brew in a bag, and when you have a grain bill that is that massive, that's kind of a problem. I should have used a much bigger container with a lot more water to circulate through it. But such is the nature of the equipment I've got, and
Yeah.
much as I like, having a beer or having something like that, I'm not gonna. My wife got me this beautiful Anvil Foundry for
The
that
lottery's not
purpose.
cooperating.
Right. Yeah. No, I don't need any more than this. I'm not gonna go like the big three vessel systems or anything like that. Just no,
I bet you would. Anyway.
if I had the garage space, I'm gonna consider
Now, see?
it. Mead focus, mead first.
Mead
The
focus.
other one, I did a party gut system, which is basically like you take the same amount of, not the same amount, the same bed of grains that you extracted the sugars from the first time, and you basically just add more water to get any leftover sugars.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew from this case, because I had, you know,
So much extra grain.
right, so much grain in so little water, I was probably going to get a fair a bit. So I think that's where my extra alcohol went. I did not really put a lot of hops into it other than like the bittering hops up front. And it seems a little bland, a little meh. So I think I'm gonna fish out some of the kind of hops I have in storage and just dry hop it a little bit before I get it bottled and ready to go. But I think that's gonna be on the back porch with me within the next week or two.
Cool. Excellent. I want to get an update on that one. We haven't talked about it in a long time, so.
Absolutely, absolutely. I don't even know if I, you know, mentioned very much specifics on that. I think that will be like the last one in my just doing it for me, doing it for whatever. Here on out, I think I'm going to put a little bit
We're
more
both going to
focus
focus a little
into,
bit better on quality
right,
here.
yeah, really raising the bar and making it as best as I can. And this, hey, 10 gallons is a
15
lot.
gallons.
It's going to keep me happy for a while at
I mean,
least.
let's keep in mind, guys, a 750 milliliter bottle is like 25.5 ounces. That's more than two beer bottles. 10 gallons?
Not quite two beer bottles, but yes.
No, 12 ounce bottles, 25 gallons, 25 ounces.
You just said 22 and a half.
Oh, I'm sorry, 25.5 is 750 milliliters. My apologies. I don't know where I got the 22, but
Right.
25.5 ounces for a 750 milliliter bottle, that's just over two bottles of meat of beer. And you have 10 gallons twice. So yeah, you're going to do great.
Well, and these are a meat beer hybrid. I'm going to put them in the 12-ounce beer bottles anyway. So
There you go.
that's what, 50 bottles each?
Yeah. So there
Oh,
you
wow.
go.
I
So.
was really hoping for about a 12 to 14% on the wheat wine one. I don't think I'm going to hit that. I think I'm in the 10 to 12 range, and we'll see.
For me, it's about the flavor, man.
Yeah, well, those I'm probably not even going to crack into until fall time because you know, those are I still need to age those on oak too, for that matter. But you know, these are my, you know, the nights are getting longer, weather's getting colder. I need something to keep me happy and warm while I'm staring at the fire and wishing for spring again.
There we go.
So,
All right. Well, it looks like we've exhausted what we're going to say here about seasonal for the most part. You know, if you have any suggestions you'd like to see us try for you, give it a whirl. I mean, I've got extra buckets.
absolutely. And honestly, if you guys have, this is the kind of thing that I would love to see some discussion with, either in the Facebook group or just, you know, shoot us emails or things like that. Like, what do you think about your choices for seasonal meats? Because there is no hard and fast rule here.
There,
What
I said
kind of,
three episodes ago, no rules, man. There are
right,
no
yeah.
rules.
What sounds good to you guys? Let us know.
I mean, because the reason, one of the reasons I do this, I want a community of people to bounce ideas off of, because we can only make this better. We can only make it
Absolutely.
better.
Absolutely.
So, Jeff, thanks for having me over.
Yeah, you bet.
Take care, and we'll talk to you all of you later.
Bye.